Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Lectio, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the ninth chapter. And we are going to read a substantial proportion today, so we'll read all of that chapter, verses 1 through 41. That's John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, where we read in the name of our Lord. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see.' Therefore your sin remaineth." Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, indeed, that's who you are. We were blind, now we see. All by your grace, all by your kindness, all by your mercy and your love. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This is absolutely a beautiful play on words throughout this text. And one of the easiest things that we miss is actually in the first verse. Because, of course, if we don't know the story, we're not really listening to what it says. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind. You see, the significance of this is in this verb in terms of seeing. Seeing. God sees. See, the whole point of this text is to understand that God sees. In the midst of our living, we don't see. Because things around us go on, and there's a lot of stuff, you know. And it's hard to see everything. God sees. This is one blind guy in a whole crowd of people. God sees him. God sees him. The disciples can't really see him. And neither will the Pharisees and the leadership of the people. They won't see him either. Because when they look upon him, they look upon him as somebody that's blighted. And the disciples are themselves that way. They look at this guy as though he's kind of like, well, you know, something happened here. You know, if he was born blind, either he, by foreknowledge, God knew he's going to be a really rotten guy, or somehow his parents were really bad. Somebody had to do something really bad here in order for this to happen. So you see, when we see, we not only don't see, but we don't see right. We see wrong. And very often, what this is contrasting is exactly what we do in the world. We look out in the world, we look at people, and we say, well, you know, I can tell by looking at that guy, he's a scumbucket. You know, and I know he's a scumbucket because he's had bad stuff happen to him. And that's just the nature of the beast. And this is exactly what Jesus is trying to say. The first people that he corrects here is his disciples. And he turns around and tells his disciples, you don't know what you're talking about. This has nothing to do with sin. You see, we kind of soften all of this stuff. Jesus is not soft in this. Jesus immediately just says, this has nothing to do with sin. It has nothing to do with sin whatsoever. What this has to do with is God. This has to do with God. What you need to understand is, I'm not here to point out sins. I'm not here to find sins. Sins are easy. I don't have to go to your house to find your sins. Sins are easy. You're a sinner. Get over it. And so is everybody else. That happens to be the deal. But will we see? You see, that's really the key, is will we see? And what do we see? And Jesus says, he says, the only reason we're stopping and we're taking care of this is because God is compassionate and he is merciful and he's gracious. And that's what I want you to understand. I've got to do this work. This is the work that I've got to do. I was sent here to show grace to people. I was sent here to give them light. I was sent to drive out the darkness because I'm the light of the world. I am the world's light. Now, he didn't say, I'm a bunch of smug, self-righteous believers' light. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. And so what does he do? Spits on the ground, makes mud, rubs it on the guy's eyes. Not what we go to the doctor for. I think if the doctor did that, we kind of look at him kind of funny, you know. Makes mud, rubs it on the guy's eyes. And he tells him to go wash in this pool, which this is a nice word, Siloam. And actually, John does a wonderful job. He tells us it means sent. And this is another word play that we miss. Jesus was sent. He didn't pick this water because it was anything special or anything like that. He tells him, you go wash in the pool that is sent. And what he's talking about is to indicate, I was sent to do this for you. You remember Luke 4, that's what he says, that he was sent to bring the recovery of sight to the blind. He goes to this pool called Sent, and he washes, and he's able to see. Because that's what Jesus was sent to do. He was sent to give recovery of sight to the blind. He was sent so that people would see and know God, that they would really know what God was like, and that they would see and realize God in the world, that God has entered into the world. The neighbors come, and they can't figure out, well, is this really that guy or not? This is just beautiful. In other words, they're blind. They can't figure out, is this a guy or not? Some say it is, some say it's not. It's like any crowd. Yeah, you know. That's how that stuff goes. And they all say, well, if it is, then how did his eyes get opened? And he tells them. Tells them very simply, this is how it went. This guy named Jesus showed up. He made mud, stuck it on my eyes, told me to go to the pool. I went to the pool, and I see. This is just that simple. No, it can't be that simple. We got to do something religious. Haul him off to the religious leaders. That's what you do. You know, nah, can't be happening like that. You got to have some sort of sanctioning from some religious demigod. So let's haul him off to the Pharisees. We got to go find the Pharisees and ask him if this is okay. Is it okay for God to do nice things? You remember that when Jesus did that? You know, he healed that guy. And everybody was like, it's a Sabbath day. You can't be doing that. I love it. Jesus says, he's standing right in the middle of it, and they're all telling him, you can't be doing that stuff. Jesus says, stretch out your arm. heals it immediately. He says, don't be telling me what I can't do or not. If God wants to do good, he does good because God is good. A lot of us used to use that prayer when we were kids. God is great. God is good. So we thank him for our food. That's pretty good stuff. That's just really how easy it is. God is great. God is good. So we thank him for this good stuff. Not Brussels sprouts. No, I'm kidding. But this is where you really come to that point of understanding. This is the nature of how God acts in the world. God is good. And he acts to do goodness, but it's hard for us. It's hard for us to really understand that and see it. And this is why they have to haul him over to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees have to try to put some approval on this. That's what they're looking for. Says, so the Pharisees say, well, how did this happen? And he tells them, he put mud on my eyes. I washed, and now I see. And then they say, no way. No way. No way that could happen. This is not a good guy. He's not of God. He doesn't follow the rules that we have. He did this on the Sabbath. That's wrong. And yet, common sense comes through and people say, well, if he's a sinner, how could he do something like that? How would that ever work? So then they turn around and say, well, what do you say about him? What do you think about him? He says, well, I think he's a prophet. And John tells us, but they didn't believe any of this. He says, and now they came to the point where they figured it was all a fake. It had to be a fake. You know, he was faking. He wasn't really blind. So he'd just been faking for all these years. So they just decide, well, he couldn't really have been blind. So then they bring in his parents. And his parents are scared to death. You know, because they don't know. They just know that the religious leadership just called them into the office. And now they're like on the hook. So they ask him, is this your son? Was he blind? And is he able to see now? And his parents say, we don't know. We don't know how he's able to see. This is our son. And he was born blind. But honest to goodness. We don't know how this happened. And John comes in and he tells us, because they were scared. They were scared of being put out of the synagogue. And then his parents said this great thing. They said, well, he's of age. You know, we're not responsible for him anymore. He's of age. Ask him. So they give the guy back. And now they get him back and they say this great thing, which is really kind of it's not really an idiomatic expression. Well, I suppose you would call it an idiomatic type of expression. What they say is they say, give God the praise. Actually, what this means, what they're actually saying is, come clean now. You know, it's time for you to come clean. We know that this is not the way that this happened. So give God the praise. Come clean, because we know this man is a sinner. And that's the key. They think that they know. And they couldn't be more wrong. We know that this man is a sinner. No. No, no, no. You have this all backward. You have it all backward. You don't understand God. You don't understand what God does. Because what you just said is that your God would be a sinner. And it says, he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, He says, one thing I know. Someday I'm going to write a hymn, and I'm going to put this line in there. I was blind, now I see. Oh, that's anachronistic. Actually, John Newton stole that from here. He said, I don't really know. This much I know. I was blind. Now I see. See, that's what Jesus said. When he was talking to people, he told them very clearly. He says, even if you don't want to believe in me, he says, believe because of the works that I do. He says, understand very clearly, this is the nature of God. What I'm showing you is what God is really like. I want you to understand that this is what God is really like. The religion of these people blinded them. They couldn't see this. They couldn't see because they were actually blind. So they said to him, well, what did he do? How did he open your eyes? He says, I told you already. I told you this already. He says, so if you want to hear it again, you must want to be his disciples. You must want to follow him too. And this gets them really mad. Now they insult him, and they start to say, you're his disciples, but we follow Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but this guy, we don't know where he's from. We don't have the stamp of approval to put on him. And it says, the guy says, well, isn't that just ducky? Now that's kind of a paraphrase. What he says is, isn't that marvelous? He says, well, isn't this marvelous? He says, you don't know where he came from, but he opened my eyes. He says, we know that God doesn't invest himself in listening to sinners. He says, but if anyone follows God, worships him, does his will, we know those are the people that God hears. He says, and since the world began, he says, it's not been heard that this has happened, that some guy would come along and he would open the eyes of somebody that was born blind. And then he tells them this final thing. He says, if he weren't of God, he couldn't do anything like that. He'd never be able to do anything like that. And they answered and said to him, they come all full circle. Now they're back where their disciples started out. They tell this guy, you are totally in sin. You were totally in sin. That's why you were born blind. You're a cursed person. You don't know what you're talking about. And then they kick him out of the synagogue. And that's the way that stuff goes. Jesus heard about it. He comes and he says, do you believe in the Son of God? And what I like about this, the guy says, I don't know who that is. You gotta just love that. He says, I don't know who that is. You know, who is that? He says, because then maybe I would. And Jesus says to him, I'm it. See, this is the whole deal. Jesus says, I'm it. I'm it. And he says, Lord, I believe. I believe. And he assumes the position of worship. In other words, he hits his knees and bows his head to the ground in front of him. And Jesus says, this is exactly why I came into the world. He says, is to show you where the darkness is and the light is. He said before, I'm the light. I came to show you the light so that you would see the light, to drive away your blindness, drive away your darkness. He says, so that those that don't see would be able to see. And he says, and that those which see would realize that they're blind. And the Pharisees heard these words. And what they say in Greek is loaded. You know, it doesn't work the same in English. You can ask a question in Greek, and the response will be negative. In other words, you ask a question, you're looking for a negative answer. It says, we're not blind also, are we? You're not saying that we're blind, are you? And Jesus says, if you were blind, he says, you wouldn't have any sin. You gotta love that, what Jesus does. They were just accusing this guy of being like a rotten sinner, so he was born blind. Jesus turns around and says, if you were blind, you wouldn't have any sin. He says, that wouldn't be an indicator of any sin whatsoever. He says, it's because you say that you see. He says, you have sin. What he's saying to them is, you're idolaters. You worship a false god. You worship a god of your own making, and you don't understand the real God, because the real God simply comes into this world and loves it. He loves it. He loves it. So much that he gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus so that our eyes would be opened and we would recognize very clearly that we are sinners, but we are sinners saved by grace. That now the love of God in Christ Jesus abounds to us in such a way that in this world, we go out into this world and we understand, and we can go out into this world and we can declare very clearly the light of the world. We can declare that God receives sinful people, and God gives sight to the blind. We can sing with John Newton, I was blind, now I see. Now I see. This is the point of this story, is to see what God has done, to see and to understand and to know that grace in such a way that we can realize that we can freely give it. See, that's the hardest thing for religious people. The hardest thing for religious people is grace. It's grace. It is the most difficult concept that we face because it is so easy. It just can't be right. I can't tell you how many people I've had tell me that. That can't be right. What you preach can't be right. That can't be right. And you ask them all the time, why not? I don't know, but it's just not right. It can't be right. It can't be that easy. You can't run around telling people that. If you run around telling people that, they're going to get away with sinning. And it's like, get a clue. We're getting away with sinning because God so loved us that he washed us and cleansed us with the blood of the Lamb, to make us pure and holy in his sight. And now, yeah, I don't have that joy in sinning. I'm a sinner, but I don't have that joy in it. I know the love of God in Christ Jesus, and I want that. I want him. And that's all I want. That's all I want to know. That's all I need to know. Because God is just that gracious. And that's all we need to know. You know, there was a song out a number of years. Don't know much, but I know I love you. That may be all I need to know. Yeah, that's all you need to know, is how much God loves you. That's all you need to know. Is to understand, does God really love me that much? Yes. Can he really love me that much? Oh, yes. No, but seriously, does God really love me that much? No, more. He loves you more than you can possibly ever imagine because he gave us Jesus. And he wasn't content to allow us to falter. He wanted us to see and to know the depth of his love. Today you come for the sacrament. You come for the sacrament because God loves you. You don't come to the sacrament because of anything that you do, any worthiness you possess, any other thing whatsoever. You come because God simply loves you. He loves you. And he is your good shepherd. You heard those words today. The Lord is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. He keeps you. And yes, he watches over you. And he feeds you with his very own body and blood. He keeps you. He sustains you. He blesses you. Why? Why does he do all that stuff? Because he loves you. That's why. Because he loves you. It's just like people used to say, I don't know how you put up with that kid, to my parents. They weren't talking about my brother and sister. Because they loved us. And that's all we need to know. When God says he loves us, he means it. He means it. That's why Paul writes, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You come today because you are loved. And you receive the gift of his love. You walk out that door with that gift. And you know. People outside that door, they don't know. They don't know. But they need to. They need to. They need somebody to give them grace. To give them grace. Just like God does. And that grace multiplies. And it does wonderful, wonderful things. Because Jesus is the light of the world. And he opens the eyes of the blind. And when they see, they sing Amazing Grace. I was blind, and now I see. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, and can it be? Oh, yes. Yes, it can be. It can be. That thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Yes. Yes. That we can have that peace? Yes. That we can know that forgiveness? Yes. That we can walk in newness of life? Yes. 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 That we can live forever? Yes. Yes. Father, renew us, strengthen us once again by your word and your spirit and your sacrament. Lead us into those pastures, Father, that are always perfect, where the living water flows freely, and we know and bask in the hope of your salvation, all entirely by your grace. Do this, Father, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.